Welcome to the Landmark Apostolic Church podcast. We hope that this message inspires you and brings impact to your life. Enjoy the message.
Amen. And while you're still standing, grab your Bibles, if you would, go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll be jumping into verse 15 and just read through 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. We'll throw it up on the screen for you. Paul writing here says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be no drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Amen. And I just want to steal my title from verse 16 and just talk to you this morning from this subject, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. So this morning, kind of the heart of this lesson is just talking to us about distraction. When you look at the Word of God and you study the characters and the heroes of the Bible, from what I know about the heroes of the Bible, their ability to overcome distraction will be the number one determinant of how successful they were on their path. And that's the same for us today. For us to have a successful journey, which we're all on a journey together, for it to be successful, we're going to have to be able to overcome distraction. But you look at the men and women of the Bible, the heroes of the faith. David was distracted by pleasure. Abraham was distracted by fear. Paul was distracted by pain. We give our distractions all sorts of names. But at the end of the day, distraction is anything that pulls our attention away from God. And it can come in many forms. Amen. 17 years ago, does anybody remember what they were doing 17 years ago? 17 years ago? That would have been 2007. It doesn't seem like 2007 should be 17 years ago, does it, right? I met my wife in the latter part of that year in 2007. So we've been together for 17 years or almost 17 years. Where does the time go, right? But back in 2007, I'm sure some of you are probably driving down the road, jamming out to some maybe Big Daddy Weave on 89.7 or Chris Tomlin singing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. That was 17 years ago. 17 years ago, most everyone knew that it was coming. Reporters and analysts and industry leaders had been speculating about Apple making a phone for nearly a year by the time Steve Jobs walked onto the stage that January morning in San Francisco. He stood up there and he took the mic and he said, "Thanks for coming," and standing there wearing his trademark Levi's and black mock turtleneck, and he stood there and he spoke, "We're going to make history today together." And despite the months-long buildup, Apple CEO managed to surprise the world when he finally unveiled the iPhone, the company's big and risky move into the mobile phone market. Steve Jobs said, "This is a day I've been looking forward to for 2.5 years. He said, "Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything." And 17 years later, we know that Steve Jobs was right. Apple did make history on January 9, 2007, when it unveiled one of the most iconic products in consumer electronics history. It has since become the phone of choice for hundreds of millions of people around the world. It redrew mobile phone design and changed the entire phone industry. Does anybody remember what their first cell phone looked like? Scratch that. Does anybody remember using a payphone? A phone booth. Okay, there we go. See, that's how significant of a moment this was when Steve Jobs stood on a stage and told the world that they had developed a phone that would house computers and GPS and video and camera and et cetera. It's amazing to me that this was just 17 years ago. 17 years ago, this world was forever changed, never to go back like it was before. Sure, there's good and bad that comes with that. And there might be some here this morning and think, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. But those are probably the ones that grew up with these smart devices and doesn't know a world without them. The millennial generation, which I happen to be one of them, is the largest generation in history. Nearly 2 billion people right now in their 30s, making up nearly a quarter of the world's population. Millennials, it's an interesting generation, to be honest with you. I remember playing a game. This would have been back maybe in the pandemic. We played this game because we were just trying to entertain ourselves, right, as we were just kind of locked down and society was just closed up. But I remember playing a game with the family called Would You Rather? And one of the questions that popped up was, would you rather lose your house keys or your phone? We all said lose our phone, but then the percentages pops up of what the majority had picked or what this generation had picked. And it was amazing to me. 71% said that they would rather lose their house keys than lose their cell phone. 53% of millennials would rather lose their sense of smell than their cell phone. That's a real statistic. Listen to this. There are more people in the world that own a mobile device than own a toothbrush. And I'm not up here preaching against technology. If you know me, you know that's not what I'm up here doing right now. I literally have a cell phone disguised as a watch on my wrist right now. So I'm not preaching against those things or teaching, but What I want to say is that we have to learn how to use technology to bless us and not curse us, right? Because it's possible for technology to literally become a weapon that distracts us from our main goal, our main priority, our main focus in this life. And so you go all the way back to since the fall of man, people had trouble staying focused back at the fall of man. But today, we live in an age of unprecedented distraction, and experts are talking about the negative effects that it's having on all of us. And I know many of us feel it, right? The buzzing brain, the attention that's getting wasted away, and the diminishing tolerance for reading. And we're becoming conditioned to distraction, and it's harming our ability to listen, to think carefully, to be still, and to pray, which means to me why I'm sharing it with you this morning. It's a spiritual danger. And I think we need God's help with this. Here, as we stand on the doorstep of the second coming of the Lord, folks, we can't afford to become distracted. We don't have time to be distracted. Jesus is coming, and Jesus is coming soon. And I believe it could be any minute, in a moment. The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, those that are ready, those that have stayed focused, those that aren't distracted, those that have been washed by the blood of the Lamb and filled with His Spirit will be caught away. Jesus is coming soon, and He's coming unexpectedly. And I think it's going to be just like any other day. You'll just be driving your car into work, and you'll get out, you'll shut the door, and you'll take a few steps, you'll go to hit that remote button to lock it, and boom, there you are in eternity, caught up in the air. Amen. He's coming. And so we can't be distracted, but we have to be, as the Word says, be filled with the Spirit. We have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. That word vigilant means keeping a careful watch, observant, eagle-eyed in this world. Because today, we are literally surrounded by distraction. And this little device that we spend so much time on is really the window to it all. According to a recent survey from reviews.org, Americans check their phones an average of 144 times a day. That's about once every 4 minutes. Staggering, right? You know what is really staggering to me about this statistic? They're saying that this is actually a 58% decrease from last year. 58%. I saw that statistic and I was baffled. And then I read, that's actually a decrease from the years prior. So kudos to us that we are trending downward, right? And putting these things down a little bit more, but it's still just at an all-time high. During today's service, you will be tempted to check your phone around 30 times. 30 times. The average person spends 5 hours a day on social media. The average 5 hours. That equates to almost 5.5 years of your life, just this. It's amazing when you extrapolate some of these numbers, right? And it's because pretty much all of our life has been consolidated by these devices, right? We literally have everything on there. I mean, everything. Our phones have 30 times the processing than they had on the navigational computer that guided Apollo 11 to the moon. 30 times faster, 30 times more powerful, right there in your pocket. It is in your pocket, right? Just teasing. 54% of people check their smartphone within minutes of waking up. 71% sleep with their phones right next to them. Teenagers on average spend 5 hours a day on social media. That ends up being 13 years of your life just doing this, just scrolling. The statistics are amazing, and I'm not trying to burden anybody with sharing them, but I have to just continue. 210 million people suffer from social media addiction, and single young females being the most vulnerable group of them all. Teens spending 5 hours a day on their phones are 50% more likely to suffer from depression. Study after study is conclusive. The more addicted you are to your phone, the more prone you are to suffer from depression, anxiety, and be less productive in your school, be less productive in your job. You are 6 times more likely to be involved in an accident posting something on Facebook than you are driving drunk. 6 times more likely. You see, digital distractions are really not a game, and neither are spiritual distractions. Now, I'm not up here trying to be the old man this morning. I'm not against social media, but we got to understand that those things have the power to become something that takes away our attention and pulls us away from the things that we are destined to do and meant to do and made to do for the Lord. In a culture when it's easier to post than to pray, when it's easier to share than to show, we hide behind a 5-inch piece of glass. We need to check ourselves before we make a complete mess of things. Amen. And in our text this morning, Paul is talking to us about redeeming the time. The Message version says it like this: so be careful how you live. Do not live like those who are not wise, but live wisely. Use every chance you have for doing good. Why? Because these are evil times. Is everyone in agreement this morning that these times that we're living in are evil times? I mean, some of the things that we are discussing before committees and senators and house leaders and things like that, some of the things that we are discussing, you wouldn't have fathomed even having a conversation about those 4 or 5 years ago. But here we are having conversations and trying to make decisions about things that we will allow and not allow in society and in our school systems and on and on and on. I think we can agree that this is evil. This is an evil time that we're living. And I think that we're all in agreement. And if anybody said, no, Bryce, I don't think that we're living in an evil time, I think it's possible you haven't left your house in 45 years. To be completely honest with you. And not to sound negative, but it's going to get worse. 2 Timothy tells us that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, distracting and being distracted. And so Paul is warning us, hey, be careful, be wise, use every opportunity, redeem the time for doing good. So you've heard the statistics this morning, and I enjoy statistics, but data is only valuable if we use it. Okay, you read a statistic, oh, that's nice to know, I'll share that with somebody. No, it's really only valuable if you use it. And I think it's good for us to survey ourselves sometimes. Where is my time spent? Where is my focus? I don't know about you, but I want to redeem the time. I want to make good use of my time. Hey, folks, God has given us, each and every one of us, a gift. It's called today. You woke up this morning. You have today. What are you doing with your today? Where is your focus? What are we doing with our time? Hey, folks, none of us will be here forever. Are you distracted? Or are you focused on Jesus Christ? I still believe in seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's something about putting Him ahead of everything else in our lives, redeeming the time, putting Him first, allowing Him to be the center of it all. Because we have an enemy, and we've talked about the enemy the last couple of weeks. The enemy that we're up against loves distraction, because distraction is the enemy of your walk with God. Distraction is the enemy of you becoming a disciple. Distraction is the enemy of your growth, your walk, your relationship. And the enemy loves it when he can get us all tied up in drama. And we're all out here on our phones trying to find the best meme, the best video, the best comment to support our personal worldview. And we're going to let them know what we think. And we're going to put our 2 cents in it. And we think that we're doing something good. Did you know you can find anything you want to support your view online? That's why there's such division right now. Because there's quote-unquote facts on every side that you turn these days. And the enemy is rejoicing the entire time. Because while we are so busy tied up in that mess, we may find something to support our worldview and to say, hey, we're right. But we have wasted so much time. And without even knowing it, we may have won an argument, but it came at the cost of our walk with the Lord. Distraction is the enemy of discipleship. I got an amen here in the...
You know, you think about athletes.
Sports athletes. Think about a Major League Baseball team that's headed to the World Series to play the World Series game. Do you ever think that they stop on the way to the game, on the way to the World Series, to play a pickup game with the kids in the park? No, they don't, do they? That's what we're doing with these little distractions, with our posts and our comments, and I'm going to let them know how I feel and what my opinion is. Can I just help somebody here this morning? Don't get caught up in that. We're headed for something greater. Jesus is coming. Don't get distracted right while you're down here on this journey, on this earth. This won't last forever. Let's stay focused. Let's turn our eyes upon him and continue on and finish where we're supposed to finish. You go all the way back to 2019. There were, I want to say the number was 2.77 billion people that were using social media. 2019. In 2024, that number has now increased to up over 5 billion people. 62% of the world's population uses social media. Right now, there are over 116 social media platforms. 116. No generation in history has ever been more distracted than this generation. And it's sad to see so many people living in a fake world surrounded by real people. We even have fake emotions these days. They're called emojis. It's a digital emotion, right? A way to express your emotions digitally. And what the data is showing is that over time, these can actually begin to dumb down our emotions, to be able to feel and interact with people. We've gotten so used to sending a digital emotion, an emoji, a fake emotion, that we don't even know how to truly respond emotionally to certain situations. And we become scroll warriors, right? Just scrolling, scrolling, liking, loving, sharing, caring digitally. And we can scroll past something that is truly heartbreaking and read something, and we use the sad emoji to put our comments and let them know we're thinking about them. And then the very next post might be something that's absolutely hilarious, and we put the laughing emoji and we're laughing. Up, down, happy, sad. Over time, our true emotions get so dumbed down that we aren't even able to feel and interact with people that we're surrounded by. And if we don't watch it, we'll be in a conversation. Somebody's texting us and somebody's expressing and explaining to us the terrible situation that they're in, and we'll just think we're helping them by shooting them over the praying hands emoji. Come on, how guilty are we for using the praying hand emoji and we forget all about truly praying for somebody? People don't need those. Okay? You know what they need? Somebody who's going to pray for them. They need somebody who's going to fall on their knees and intercede for them. So what do we do, Bryce? What's the answer? Let me take you to Luke 10. Luke 10, we find the story of Mary and Martha. This is something that we discussed not too long ago. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The Bible says that Martha started complaining. I'm cumbered about with much serving, and I got this going on, and I got that going on, and I'm over here working, and I got all this going on. She was busy with many things, the Bible says. And there Jesus is in her house, and she's distracted. The Bible says that Mary was at Jesus' feet, listening to him speak. And Martha started to complain about that. I'm in here working all by myself. Jesus, can you do something? Can you step in and tell Mary to get in here and help me out? And Jesus responded, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And that's what Mary's chosen. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Folks, you have to decide. Are you going to be distracted by many things or be focused on the one thing that really matters in life? Now, I'm not talking about neglecting important things in your life. I'm not saying that we shouldn't attend to the necessary things of life, but we must understand that ultimately there is no preoccupation that can replace prayer in your life. Devotion with Jesus Christ, getting alone with him, spending time at his feet. Jesus is saying, you have to choose what is important. You have to choose what is good. Choose the good thing. Choose what is the right thing. Are we going to fill up our soul with that which is eternal or that which is entertainment. Get your eyes off of the many things and get them on the one thing that matters most, Jesus Christ. Redeem the time. There's nothing that can take the place of your relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask our music to come. Hopefully nobody's distracted by this squeaky chair up here. Did you know that more people die trying to take a selfie than those being attacked by a shark? Between 2011 and 2017, 259 people died in selfie-related accidents compared to just 50 people killed by sharks. But we got to have that perfect shot, right? Let me just step out here on the edge of this cliff just a little bit further. The perfect background. Why? So I can post it on my story and I can share it to my feed and see how many likes I can get. And we're distracted thinking that those things are what brings us satisfaction. That's what brings fulfillment. That's what brings joy. But the facts are, we still feel lonely. Oh, our posts may get attention. We may get a lot of likes, but it's possible to be liked and still be lonely. John 12 gives us a story of Jesus riding into Jerusalem. Verse 13 says that the people took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And the Bible goes on to say that there were some that would not do it. And if you keep reading, it lets us know why. Verse 43, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Whew. If we're not careful, it's possible for us to get so distracted that we lose our whole identity in Jesus Christ. Because sometimes when we take a stand for what is right, we're going to have people unfriend us. We're going to have people unfollow us. And it's at that moment that we have to decide, are we going to live for the praise of men? The praise of society? The praise of culture? That is so twisted and backward, or are we going to live for the praise of God? Are we going to live for the approval of God instead of the approval of our Facebook group? Are we living and posting just to see how many likes and comments we can get and living for that approval? Just that praise? Or are we redeeming the time, spreading the good news? Are we redeeming the time and picking up our cross daily and following the Lord? Do you speak up for what is right, no matter what it may cost you? Or are you too distracted seeking the praise of men over the approval of God? Are we too distracted trying to make sure our image is one that lines up with what culture wants and what culture says it should be? Revelation 13 lets us know that it all comes down to an image. The Bible says he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Hear the warning. the Antichrist commanded that they worship the image of the beast. Hear me today. He's going to present an image that you have to conform to. What you look like, what you dress like, how you act, what is acceptable to culture. Are you lining up to that image? And it says that he commanded to worship the image of the beast. Hear me right now. Right now, we are being conditioned to worship the image of the Antichrist. We are being trained to worship the image of the Antichrist. So the question that I think we all need to ask ourselves is, are we living for the praise of men rather than the praise of God? Martha was distracted, busy with other things, trying to please other people. She was focused on the praise of men rather than the praise of God. Folks, in the evil day that we live in, we have to be, as Paul said, filled with the Spirit. His Spirit is what's going to help us stay focused. His Spirit is what's going to drive us into that communion, that fellowship, and getting alone with Him, pulling us away from this and that, because that's going to take your attention away. That's going to rob you of your focus. That's going to rob you of your time with me.
Thank you for listening. Special thanks to those that give generously to this ministry. If you would like more information, please visit our website at landmarkapostolicchurch.net. But have a great day, and God bless.